Good morning, guys. How's everybody doing this morning? Welcome to Summit. I'm excited that it's back. My name is Bobby Crotty. I have the privilege of being on staff here at Watermark and responsible for Summit. It has been a great summer in which we have been looking at all aspects of Summit. So let me pray for us and we'll get rolling. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to stand in the midst of these guys. I'm grateful that they have raised their hands to be a part of Summit as we take a look at 1 and 2 Kings. Lord, the kings were faced with the same sort of decisions that we're faced with today. And the basic one is whether we're going to follow you or we're going to follow our own desires. And so, Lord, these guys have raised their hands to say they want to follow you. And I am proud to stand among them. And so be with us, Lord. May you unpack your truth in a way that brings honor and glory to your Son, brings honor and glory to your name. May your hand of favor and blessing and protection be upon each one of these guys. Amen. So this summer, you guys come on in. There are plenty of seats up front. I appreciate the brave guys over here sitting up front. So come on up front. Let me tell you about the process that we've gone through in looking at Summit from start to finish. I've done it with a bunch of guys who have been a blessing. We've had a lot of fun doing it. We've laughed a lot. Let me just call their names. Scott Singbush, Joseph Elish, Brett Brewster, Bob Rudy, Lawrence Dolman, Doug Cramp, and our youngest member, Patrick Camp. And then we were ably assisted by Rebecca Banks, who is our summit coordinator. And those guys deserve a round of applause. We have spent a lot of time looking at your responses to the summit survey that you did last spring. There were 94 pages of responses. And we spent 6 weeks looking at those responses, talking about them, dreaming about things that we could do differently. But one message that came across that was loud and clear throughout the responses was that you do not think that Summit is broken. And so your advice was be careful how you mess with something that isn't broken. And so we have taken that to heart. And the tweaks that you're going to see, ultimately, they're not going to be that noticeable, okay? But they fall into 5 big buckets, dealing with our large group teaching, leader training and development, how we promote and recruit for Summit. And frankly, guys, you guys are the best recruiters that we have. A personal invitation to you, to someone, to, hey, come join me and do this thing called Summit. That sort of personal invitation will do way more than 100 emails from Watermark. Okay? And so it's not too late for guys to come join us. We're going to start next week with lesson 1, so they won't have missed a thing. Are you with me on that? You can bring your friends, your neighbors, your family, your coworkers, bring them to Summit with you. That's the vital part, okay? They're not going to know anything about Summit, but they know you, and they'll go do something that you invite them to do with you. So help us that way. We also took a big look at the discipleship process. And one of the things I'm going to talk about a little later on is about how Summit is going to play a really cool, important role in the discipleship process here at Watermark. And then finally, we talked about what do we do in the off season? And we probably need a better name for that, but that's just simply the time that the groups can continue to meet when Summit itself is not in session. And so we talked a lot about that as well. And so we've got some good ideas about that. Some of these ideas we're going to implement this fall, but others we're going to implement even next spring as we finish 2 Kings. We'll do 1 Kings this fall, 2 Kings next spring. And some we may not implement until 2025, the fall of 2025. Okay, but today I want to spend some time talking about how can you thrive at Summit. I don't want you just to come and do Summit. I want you to thrive at Summit. Because Summit is a place where God will transform you through the study of His Word and the interaction and the investment of your life in the guys in your group. Okay? The investment of your life in the guys in your group. So stay tuned for more about that in just a minute. All right, so how can you thrive at Summit? How many first-time members or first-time participants in Summit do we have? Raise your hands. Raise them up high. Oh, man, that blesses me. Thank you guys for trusting us to come be a part of this. And so I'm talking to you guys, but I feel like Vince Lombardi up here holding up a football at the beginning of Packers training camp saying, gentlemen, this is a football, okay? Well, I want to do that for Summit. And I want to say, hey, here are the basics of Summit. So let's think about that as we get started. We're going to be studying 1 and 2 Kings. If you are married and you have a wife in women's Bible study, they are studying 1 and 2 Kings. They're using a book that looks almost like this, except it's green and white and has all sorts of girly colors in it, okay? Don't pick that one up. Bring this one, okay? Bring the dark one. This is the guy's book, and hopefully you picked one up outside. If you didn't, grab it on the way out. In studying the same workbook, the ladies actually did the first draft of this. And you know how girls are. They're smarter than we are. And they ask a lot of questions in this book. And I get that. You know, in the first lesson, I think there are 30-something questions. And I already lost some of you just on that. Okay? But I'm here to tell you, don't let that deter you. If you can't do all 30 questions in the first week, they cleverly disguise it by using numbers up to 14. So you think, oh, there are only 14 questions. Well, maybe not, okay? There's some subparts, okay? Are you with me on that? But don't let that deter you. If you can't do all of the questions, that's okay. Your leaders are actually going to have a list of suggested questions that'll help you understand what's going on in there. If you can't do them all, do those. And if you can't do those, that's okay. The most important thing anyway is to read the passage in Scripture. Read the passage in 1 Kings. That is the most important thing. That is the thing that will change your life. Now, God may use this workbook to change your life. He can do that. But it is His Word that does not return to Him void. It's His Word that is powerful and transformative. So if you can't do anything else, read the passage. And the passages aren't so long that you can't get through them. Trust me on this. Okay? And then frankly, guys, and I don't want to give you permission not to do your homework. Don't think of this as that. But if you can't, if you just have one of those weeks from you know where and you can't get anything done, just come on. It's okay. You have permission to just come and take in the large group teaching. You'll learn something from that. And even more importantly, you'll learn something from the small group discussion. And the Lord may even use you to say something that is transformative for one of the guys in your small group. So the only bad thing that you can do is just to say, oh, I can't do it. I didn't do my homework. I shouldn't go. No, that is never the right answer. Keep coming. keep coming, okay? All right, so you've got a homework permission slip. I don't know what else I can do for you that will help you like that, but come early on Thursday, get a cup of coffee in a good parking place. We're going to start at 6:30 a.m. sharp, and the large group teaching will be done before 7, and so you'll have a solid hour of small group discussion. And guys, that's where life change happens. We're done by 8 o'clock, okay? The basics of Summit are pretty simple. Show up. That's number one. And if you can read the passage, that's great. And if you can do the homework, that's even better. Okay? But just show up. So let me, before I totally forget, let me show you my family. This is the Crotty clan. I've got a son married to Noelle, and Bobby's got 5 kids. And Becky is married to Baird, and they have 3 kids. You see one's missing. That's a 2021 photo. So Miss Kelly has come and joined us in the last year. And then, you know, there's my pride and joy, Duke. Okay? Duke is a good dog. He is a stray from East Texas. And when the vet saw him for the first time, he looked at him and said, "This dog is ripped." And I thought, man, finally a crotty who's ripped. Okay? That's a good thing. Now, my boy back in his day was an Army Ranger, so he has had his days of being buff. But he just turned 41, so, you know, dad life is starting to set in a little bit, okay? But he's still an athlete. So that's the fam. Let's talk about 1 and 2 Kings. I'm going to give you a quick overview, and then I'm going to show you a slide from the Bible Project where you can look at the overview that they have on the internet on your own. But we go from a united kingdom under Saul, David, and Samuel. We actually pick up in 1 Kings when David is old and he is finishing his reign as king over Israel, the united kingdom. And then after Solomon's rule, so think about that, we have David, the man after God's own heart. Then we have Solomon, the wisest man in the world. And Solomon is followed by his son Rehoboam. And Rehoboam listens to his high school buddies instead of to his father's wise counselors. And the kingdom ultimately divides. Okay? And we have a northern kingdom that is, this is a problem because it's called Israel as well. Okay, so you got to be careful. Are we talking about Israel in the United Kingdom when it's all 12 tribes? Remember, the 12 tribes are from the sons of Jacob. Okay, well, the northern kingdom is composed of 10 tribes, and they are the northern portion of Israel. The northern kingdom has 20 kings, and this makes it easy because they're all bad, okay? They follow the lead of the first king, Jeroboam, who leads the northern kingdom into evil. And then most of the kings thereafter are described as, and he followed in the footsteps of his father Jeroboam, okay? Followed in the footsteps of the first king. So 20 kings, all bad. The southern kingdom was composed of Judah and Benjamin, those two tribes. And it had also approximately 20 kings. 12 of them were just like the northern kingdom guys and were bad. They followed their own desires. They did not follow the law. They did not follow after Jehovah. But the other 8 kings are described as good kings who followed in the ways of David. David is the pattern for the good kings of the southern kingdom. David, a man after God's own heart, spawned these 8 kings that were also desirous of following God's plan. In modern terms, we'd say they ran the Lord's offense instead of their own. Okay? how does it work out for you when you run your offense instead of the Lord's offense? Well, I don't know about you guys, but it didn't work out so well for this guy when I try to do it my way instead of doing it the Lord's way. And 8 of these kings did it the Lord's way, but even those guys were not perfect, okay? So that's a quick overview. Take a look at the Bible Project video. It'll be helpful in just giving you a brief overview of 1 and 2 Kings. It takes 8 minutes to watch it. It would be worth your time. I want to spend the rest of my time here, and guys, I'm going to be done on time, even if none of my other speakers are. So that's the good news for you today, okay? So I want you guys to just understand that, hey, I've been doing this for a while. My first summit was in 2007. Okay, the fall of 2007. So this is my 35th summit. And man, it has, one, it has whizzed by, but two, it has been a joy to do this with you guys. And so I want to give you 5 ideas that are my best ideas about how to succeed at Summit. And not just succeed, but how to thrive at Summit. How to find the Lord's transformation in your own life in doing so. All right, number one, it's a marathon and not a sprint. And how many guys have run marathons in here? Oh, man, that's impressive. Okay, well, look at me. I am not a runner. But I am a cyclist. I love to ride my bike. And, you know, I could have learned from the idea of marathon, not a sprint. My first Hotter Than Hell race in Wichita Falls, this was 2013, I did the 100K division. So I was going to ride 62 miles. And the first 40K, you know, I was all pepped up. I had trained, and I was ready to go. And I rode what is still the fastest 40K I have ever ridden. And then when I was done with that 40K, I still had 60K to go. That is not a good plan for cycling or for Summit. Okay, are you with me on that? And so the idea is to pace yourself. Okay, and not to give up. And if you can't get any of your homework done 1 week, don't worry about it. Do the next week's lesson. Okay, keep coming. That's the big idea. So it's a marathon, not a sprint. And Galatians 6:9 tells us that don't grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Galatians 6:9. It's also a place, and you know, some of you just perked up when you saw that top line, return on investment. That's something that everybody wants to have, a return on his investments. And that idea is simply that you get out of Summit what you put into it. Now, the Lord's going to do the transformation, but he is partnering with you to do your work. And so I want to encourage you to do your homework. If you will faithfully do that, you will know 1 and 2 Kings in a way that is transformative. Okay? Do your homework. Galatians 6:8 tells us that, hey, whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. Okay? So remember that it's a marathon, not a sprint, and that it's a place where you control your own return on investment. Okay, so let's sow well as men doing this study. It's also a place to invest in others. I love this verse, 1 Thessalonians 2:8. It's one of my favorite verses because I think it is the secret to Paul's ministerial success. He loved the Galatian church. Okay, he said things about the Galatian church that he didn't say about any of his other churches. And here's one of the reasons. He says, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves. He was investing his life in this church and in the other churches that he served. And Summit is a place for you to invest your life in the lives of the guys in your group. And one of the things we've done differently this semester is that we've simply asked the question, do you want to be discipled? You know, we gave people a chance to digitally raise their hand and say, yes, I want to be discipled. And guys, we have over 75 guys who have raised their hands and said, I want to be discipled. And then we've also asked the question, are you interested in discipling others? And that ought to be all of us sitting in here. And we've had 60-plus guys raise their hands and say, hey, yes, I would love to disciple others. And so one of the things your small group leader is going to do, if you've asked to be discipled, is to find a guy to disciple you. And then if there's no one left to be able to do that in your group, I'll help you find a guy to disciple you, or I'll do it myself. I love the opportunity to invest my life in other guys, okay? And so this discipleship process, I think it's going to be one of the sweet things that we're doing in Summit here. You know, it's funny that 15 of the guys said that they checked the box that they wanted to be discipled, and they also checked the box that they wanted to disciple others. Well, guys, that's what we all ought to be. We all ought to be being discipled by someone, someone who's farther along in the faith, but then we also ought to be willing to turn around and invest our lives in others. And that's what Summit is. It is a place for you to invest your life in others. It's also a safe place to ask questions. Okay? On the survey responses, 98% of you said that your small groups were either effective or very effective at providing a safe place of openness and authenticity where it was okay to ask questions. And so I want to tell you guys, in the words of James 4:2, we have not because we ask not. And so I'm encouraging you to use your Summit group as a place to ask questions. And, you know, if your Summit leader doesn't have an answer for you about your question, he'll get one. And you're always welcome to reach out to me, bcrotty@watermark.org, and I would love nothing more than to go meet you at Watermark Coffee. I'll buy a cup of coffees on me, and we'll talk about your question. We'll figure out that answer together. That's the important part of the question answering process, is that it is an opportunity for you and whoever's answering your question to do it together, to go discover the answer together. So it's a safe place to ask questions. And then finally, this may be the best advice, and that's simply to finish what you start. Okay? Finish what you start. Remember, you don't have to be perfectly prepared every week. You have permission to just come, even if you've done nothing. That's okay. Okay? But don't make a practice of that. Find time to read Scripture. I don't know about you guys, but I always have time to do the things that I want to do. Okay? Are you with me on that? You the same way? You know? This is going to be worth you giving something up for to be properly prepared. So do your work and finish what you start. Well, that's it. That's the five best ideas I've got. It's a marathon, not a sprint. You control the return on investment by investing your time wisely. It's a place for you to invest in others. It's a safe place to ask questions. And so ask those questions. And then finally, let's finish strong. Let's have the room be this full on November 21st as it is today. We can do that. And then remember that offer. You have a standing offer that if I can help you in any way, I'll meet you at Watermark Coffee, I'll buy, and we can talk about whatever's going on in your life. Take me up on that because it'll bless me to have a chance to get to know all the guys in this room. So let me pray for us, and then we can, I've got a couple announcements after that, and then I'll dismiss you to go to your rooms. Lord, I love the opportunity to stand before these guys. These are your guys, Father. These are your men that you have picked to be a part of this study, to learn the truths about the kings of Israel, to learn from their mistakes, and not have to repeat all those mistakes themselves. And so, Lord, may you bless their time. May you bless their group discussions. May you help them find, as I have found, that Summit is a safe place to not only ask questions, but to invest my time, and that it is a wise investment of time to do homework, to be prepared, to grab coffee with the guys in the group, to just be a family for the course of Summit. And so, Lord, may you bless their time together. May you keep them coming, and may this semester be transformative in the life of Watermark Community Church because these men have made a decision to follow hard after your son. So thanks for this time. Thanks for these friends. Amen.